Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to love to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains. And it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook. And also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and we are live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived in iTunes. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. We are deep in the middle of the holidays, and isn't it a great time? For some it is, for some it isn't, but we're here today to change that because you know what? If you're alive, standing up straight, you're good to go, and we all really need to start having some gratitude and happiness and joy in our lives no matter what our circumstances. Because you can better believe it, if we all ever made a list, we'd have a whole lot of health challenges and regular life challenges and all kinds of things are going on these days, and, you know, we all have those lists. But it's going to be a new day, it's going to be a new time, and we are on with it. Enjoy our life. Because if this is the new norm, hey, we have nothing else to do but absolutely change it and enjoy the ride. Because it's all about the journey. It's not about getting to the top as it used to be. If you've grown up in the 50s and 60s as I did, it was all about, hey, we're going to get to the top, you know, get out, get the job, get the house, get the money. And when you get to the top, you can wave to everybody else down below. We all know what happened with that, don't we? In the 90s and in the 2000s, hey, everybody got their ladder knocked out from under them. All those things that were up on the top, they just didn't seem so important anymore. So we really need to have some joy and happiness in our life. And it has to be every day, irregardless of where we are. Today my guest is MJ Ryan, and her book is called The Happiness Makeover, Teach Yourself to Enjoy Every Day. It's going to be a great show because we're going to be looking at this from all different sides. How can you be happy? How can you stay happy? And you know what, furthermore, and I think this is the most important thing we'll focus on today, do you have to be happy every minute of every day? Because, you know, some days we just plain have to be sad. It's just the idea that we don't have to always be stuck in the cement or always be wallowing around in the sludge pool. We can always have a choice and just say, you know what, I'm going to stick my head up out, take a breath, and it is a great day. So, MJ, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm happy to be with you, Jeanette, in this wonderful time.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I kind of stumbled into learning how to be happy. I was kind of your average miserable young person. I'd gone to therapy. I knew why I was miserable, but I didn't know how to be happy. And I was a book publisher, and then one day we were trying to come up with a new idea for a book to help fund our press, and we read about this woman in the Bay Area that was whose slogan was Practice Random Acts of Kindness. And we said, what a great book idea.
Yeah.
We gathered some friends together, we put the book together, and it exploded into this phenomena that went viral worldwide. And I started being interviewed all over, all in the world, on media. And I realized, well, I didn't want to be a hypocrite, that if I was talking about random acts of kindness, I better start doing some. And the more I did, the happier I got. Then I realized, oh, there are things we can actually do to be happy. And I set off on a quest to discover what the other ones were. And so I've done a whole series of books and thinking and writing and working with people on how do we incorporate these things into our lives and therefore become happier.
And also I think we really need to look at the word in-depth happiness, what that might actually mean. It doesn't mean that we walk around every day and we're holly jolly and, you know, just like Santa Claus, and the world is a glorious place and everything in it, and all of my cares have now just disappeared and vanished. That's not really what happiness would be to everyone. It may be to some, and that's wonderful, but there's some that they need to say that just because I looked outside and I smiled, that might be happy. Or, hey, I found that really great flower that I've been trying to grow forever. Ooh, it has a petal on it today. Or, you know, for the first time in 2 weeks, my dog hasn't thrown up. Hey, that's a great day. You know, it's just the lightness of the idea, I think, is really what we need to look at, because not everybody, like I said, can be like Santa Claus, right?
Well, absolutely true. And it was funny, I was just talking to a client of mine about this morning. It was way back, the Greek philosopher Aristotle said that there's two pathways to happiness. One is the path of contentment, which is the things you're talking about, which are what can we notice that we can appreciate and enjoy right now, this moment in our lives. There's always stuff, no matter what else is going on. And then there's a path of fulfillment, and that's when we feel like we are doing what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. We are using ourselves, our talents, what we care about, what matters to us, on behalf of other human beings or the world or nature, whatever it is that matters to us. And both of those pathways, I think, are important things to cultivate when we try to become happier. Some of us need more work on the one side and some need more work on the other.
Absolutely. And just to say, you know, it's not business as usual. So many of us have always said, you know, it's the way things were done. It's the way I always am. Oh, well, you know, that's for other people, you know. That's not who I am. I'm just like my mother. I'm just like my father. I'm just, you know, this is in our genes. And really to be able to say to that, you know, I choose to do something different today. I choose to be different today. And just to realize that you have that choice is right where a lot of people are at that point of realization.
Yes, and research shows that there is a genetic set point to happiness. It's true, and that we do inherit sort of a fundamental place where we hang out on the spectrum of happy or unhappy, but that's only 50% determine what happens to us. So it is influence. That's what the happiness makeover is actually about. It doesn't matter where on that spectrum you were born and what your genetic heritage is. No matter where it is, you can practice these things as we're talking about and become happier.
Absolutely. And you know what, too? When you're around sometimes a lot of those people that are choosing not to be happy, you sometimes have to disassociate for maybe a few minutes, a few seconds, maybe an hour, and maybe permanently in some cases, you know, because you have to remember you can't always be around Debbie Downers, you know. You've got to be able to say, I have to say this and feel this, but I can't always be like feel like you're dragging around the ball and chain idea, right?
Yes, and it is true that we catch our feelings from our friends. There's all this really interesting new stuff that's come out recently in social psychology that talks about that, and that it's that our emotions are contagious. And so when we're around people who are down, we tend to go down, and when we're around people who are up, we tend to go up. So then, of course, we're influencing them, too. So that's where our choice lies.
And also, too, I've heard people say, oh, you know, I don't want to hear that mumble-jumble, you know, do this, do that, like you've always done. And I think eventually if you can hear, like, over a period of time, maybe 6 months or a year of them constantly contesting when you're trying to be a little bit lighter, a little bit happier, or whatever that might be, you'll eventually say, you know what, I'm not listening to you. And then you'll be able to phase out. And, you know, we have to recognize that this is a real, what we would call a real stretch. You know, not everybody's in the middle, you know, this standard deviation kind of idea. There's a lot of people that are on different pathways and at different points in their life where you might be feel great now, some challenge will come along and take you to your knees. So everybody's in different places.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you also pointed out, this does not mean that we go around like Pollyanna sunshine all the time, because we all do have challenges and difficulties, and it's and those feelings of sadness and of frustration and anger, all those things are real. It's about, to me, it's about an and experience. Those things are true, and what can we enjoy and appreciate? How can we be useful today, no matter what?
You know, I always talk to my clients when they say, you know, I left the doctor's office and it just felt like it froze me, or I don't know what you're telling me, and all of a sudden I don't hear anything, I don't see anything, I don't feel anything. And I always like to remind them, did you see anything on your way home? And they're, you know, that school, I didn't know it was open until this late in the day. Or, oh my gosh, you know, there was this crazy bird that just kept chirping in my ear. So you've noticed something else, and try to foster those noticing of those other things will get you through some of those harder times in your life.
Well, this is the exact thing I learned from my father when he was dying. He was in the hospital. He was about 2 weeks away from death. He was dying of emphysema. Every breath was a gasp. And I sat there next to him in silence a long time. And then finally, I don't know why, I just blurted out, Dad, is your life still worth living? I do not know why I asked.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to do if he said no?
But right.
But I couldn't help it, because he seemed to be suffering so much. And he looked up at me and he said, I like to watch the ball game on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read the comics in the newspaper, and sometimes it's easier to take a breath than others.
Yeah.
My life is good.
Absolutely.
And that's when I really got it, that in any circumstance, any single solitary circumstance, no matter how bad, he knew he was dying. He wasn't in denial.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose to focus on the things that we can still enjoy and therefore have as good of an experience, not a wonderful necessarily, but as
right.
good of an experience as possible.
And that's the meaning behind a lot of people, when I work with clients with end of life, we say to them, you know, what is important to you? Instead of the family coming and saying, oh, well, I know what she wants, I know what she always likes, and then they bring it to you and you're going, oh, thank you so much. And then when they leave, you throw it in the garbage. It's like they don't know me at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really an opportunity to say, you know, what does make someone tick? What doesn't? And be able to listen. You know, we've given up the value of listening. Nobody listens anymore. And what might make you feel good, you know, 20 years ago, might not now. I've always told the story on the show before about a woman, an elderly woman that was in the hospital. And, you know, they all knew that she was not doing well and this would be the end of her time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the people, you know, relatives flew in and everything. They said, and she says, oh, I'm really hungry. Oh, and then the daughters would go, oh, I know what she wants. I'll go out and get her favorite food. And they'll bring it back, and it'll be something like fried chicken and maybe spicy tacos or something like that. And the woman would just say in the bed, oh, thank you so much. And then you'd look at her and you'd say, well, why didn't you want that? She says, I don't have my teeth in. Do you think I'm going to eat that stuff? You know, and it's just to make the lightness out of it, but also to understand that she realized that they weren't there, but she also made the lightness out of it, you know. She said, next time when you go out, this is what I want, because I don't have my teeth in, you know, or something like that, and just make it light and be able to say she's still enjoying, she still was hungry, she still wanted something of life.
Absolutely.
You know,
yep.
And it's so hard for a lot of people.
Yep, and yes, it's about recognizing that in every given moment we are growing and changing and we have to keep current with ourselves and with other people, right?
Right.
You can't make assumptions about how this is the way they always were and they always loved that. And that may not be true anymore.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about, too, we talk about life is suffering, you said in your book, you know, and the more you suffer in silence, you know, with Catholics, the better God likes it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where I was recently, but it was at some sort of event where they were screaming to God. They were screaming and yelling, and she says, we have to yell louder. He doesn't hear us. And I'm going, oh, my word. You know, why do I need to yell like that and believe that? And then they were repent your sins. And while this isn't a religious show, this is just the idea of some people live like this. And this is important to bring up because they believe that that's for them. And we also want to believe that, you know, we just didn't get dropped by the stork either. We've talked about that on the show. You know, you get up in the morning and you say, thank you for being here. Well, there's got to be someone, somehow, something that we've gotten here because storks don't drop babies all over the place. So it's really about having an appreciation and a gratitude for that moment that you're here. How did you get here? Do you need to call out? Do you need to have God respond to you? Do you not? Do you need to just be grateful for the moment that you're able to put your feet on the ground? And all of that will lead to a day that you're able to say, you know, I'm happy I'm here and I'm thankful and there's a lot of gratitude.
Yeah, one of the things I think that that I also had learnings. I've learned a lot from other people in terms of what happiness is and isn't and how we grow it. When I was a book publisher, I had an author of mine. She came to me. She had multiple sclerosis, which, of course, is a really hard and challenging disease. And she had, when she was first diagnosed, she was like many people, a young, you know, young middle-aged woman, very active. And she thought, of course, this is her death sentence. And she spent a long time, a couple of years, really feeling sorry for herself. Mm-hmm. And then one day she just decided, this is ridiculous. I got to get up and do something. And so she started volunteering. She lived in Dallas at the Holocaust Museum that had opened there. And she started feeling better.
Yeah.
And so she thought, this is really interesting. And so she at the book that she wrote and was about how she interviewed all kinds of other people who were in emotional, physical, or spiritual pain and suffering and illness, and who turned to other to help others. And uniformly, I mean, she still has MS, of course. It's not like disappear, but her symptoms lessened the more that she gave. Mm-hmm. And she found that this was true for so many other people as well. So one of the things that we can always do is help to get out of ourselves, right, and our own frame of mind and our own unhappiness and help somebody else. It really, really, really is useful.
And we always look at that, too, when people go into hospice and we say, okay, well, you have 6 months in hospice and that should be the end of their life, and you turn around and some of these people are coming out with miracles and, you know, they live for years and years beyond that 6 months. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, what is really going on here, you know? And people in medicine and all kinds of science wants to, contain it, define it, and give it a name. Mm-hmm. And really, can't we just say, you know what, maybe they just said, let it go. Let all that stuff go. All that stuff that isn't important to me anymore. And I'm just going to be happy I'm here in this moment. And that's what creates that miracle. And I think if we just don't wait until the end of our life, maybe we might have a whole lot more benefits of this. So many people need to learn to let all that stuff go, you know, so much earlier in their life, and maybe they'll have a better life.
Yeah, it's interesting. I when I was writing about gratitude, I read all these things by people who had a near-death experience, and then they became incredibly filled with gratitude, of course, for just being alive. And I started to ask myself, do I have to wait until I have a near-death experience? No. We can do at any moment, we can really, really get in touch with how amazing and miraculous it is just that we are allowed to be here, right?
Absolutely. And you just don't want to always wait till you're what I call implosion at the cement wall, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to come back from some of those things that we get ourselves into. And we don't always want to feel like we're taking that road until we crash. and burn, you don't really want to do that. You really want to be able to look up and say, hey, there is that light, you know, there is that light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, a flower does bloom in the desert or whatever, however you want to relate it. But the idea is pay attention. And I think that's really the biggest concept in your book is about paying attention, you know. How to become happy is just pay attention where you are. Just stand there, open your eyes. Where are you? And then where would you like to be?
Yep, that's true.
So let's talk about how you get there. How do you share with others that are really stuck, you know? Being able, I mean, great, we understand we should be, quote, happy, but how can you actually get there?
Well, I think we sort of started talking about some of those things, I think. One is really deciding that you're going to focus on somebody other than yourself and people who are in need other than you. That really, really helps. But I guess the most fundamental thing is for those of us who were not born naturally on the sunny
right.
side,
mm-hmm.
it's really we have to retrain our brains. Because what they've discovered is that the difference between pessimists and optimists, or those who are unhappy versus those who are happy, is that it's a different part of our brain that's activated when we think a thought. When something happens, people who are happy use their left prefrontal cortex to think about it, and people who are miserable, they use their right prefrontal cortex to think about it. It's just a different part of the brain, and we have a tilt. We have a tendency that was built in since we were young to view life through one of those things or the other. And so literally what we can do is begin to catch ourselves if we're on the negative side, like I certainly was, and catch yourself and go, wait, oh, there I am going down the bad road where I'm making myself miserable, and then substitute some kind of other thought. So what can I be grateful about right now? That's an easy one. How can I help somebody else? That might be a little bit harder, depending on how much time you have. How can I look at this in a way that I'm going to trust in a good outcome? So if you think a hopeful thought, a positive thought, a grateful thought, you then activate that other side, and you begin to build pathways so that it becomes, over time, more and more and more automatic to look at life in that more positive way. So we don't have to work so hard all the time at it, eventually.
And also, too, we talk about, you know, we think of happiness as this certain type of a picture. And we always try to achieve that, you know, in the life of perfectionism, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, well, that is what I want because that is what will, quote, make me happy. I know this will make me happy. And we're still looking outside of ourselves. We're still not looking inside of ourselves. And how easy that is to do in this day and age, I think. We always say, you know, I'm giving, but nothing's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have that idea of giving and coming back or things outside of you. Is that really the answer? And the answer is that will get you absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they found, again, this that people who win the lottery even, so we think, oh, we're gonna be so wealthy, you know, it's going to be so happy, and they are temporarily. Just like you, if you went on a wonderful vacation or, you know, your wedding ceremony or something. So there is that uplift you get from the immediacy of the thing. But ultimately, you go back to where you always were in terms of your mood. Because it's not actually created by the external circumstance. It's really created by this tendency we have to look at life through the one side of our brain or the other.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many women will say, oh, I really want a husband. I really want a husband. And I always tend to provoke the question and be that devil in your ear idea, why do you want a husband? Because if they go along that track, I want a husband, and they've got all these things listed down, sure enough, you know, 2-3 years later, they're like, well, I thought he would fulfill all of these things.
Right.
and he was going to be the answer to A plus B equals C, you know? However, you forgot that if he wasn't A in the first place, he's never going to be A just because you got married to him, you know? And how we can shift that.
Yes, absolutely.
you know, so many people, they get so unhappy because it doesn't look or appear. In other words, when you buy something, you order something at the restaurant, you know, because it has a picture there, and you get it, and it's just not what it was supposed to be. And then you turn around and you're disappointed. You say, see, life just disappointed me. I knew it. It was my expectation. And as always, I'm, quote, right. A lot of people live in that world.
That's right.
You know, how tough that would be. But also, too, we talk about you do have the ability to be unhappy and to be sad and know that a lot of things in your life you can't always be happy about. Let's say that you have a medical circumstances or something, an event happens in your family, okay, where life just plain whacks you in the chest.
You lose a job. There's all kinds of things. My sister's house burned down. There's all kinds of things that can't come from the outside that can really knock us for a loop. Even in those circumstances,
mm-hmm,
I don't think other people can do this for us, but we ourselves can do this, which is to look, ask ourselves, what's the gift in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the gift for me in this hard thing? It's typically not the question to ask in the beginning, right?
So, like, right,
my sister called me and her house had burned down. They lost everything. She was, of course, very upset and distraught, and
mm-hmm,
I just listened and empathized. But within 2 months, she was saying, you know what? I was wanting to get rid of all this.
Absolutely.
And start,
yep,
over, and now I got to. And so she's,
yep,
a brand new house now, right? Built exactly the way she wants it.
Absolutely. You know, we were here for Hurricane Katrina in the South, you know, when we lost all the stuff, and it was like, oh, my gosh, thank goodness. Now I can move freely, and I don't
right,
have to carry all that crap with me, you know?
Right.
You know, and it's like all of that tchotchke and stuff, and, you know, I just don't need it anymore. There were a lot of people, however, they turned around and collected even more stuff because they had that space inside them that was so vacant and so empty that they just felt like their stuff was going to fill it up. And that's perhaps maybe an opportunity where they had not chosen to look at it for the gift that it was.
Yes, absolutely. But I think sometimes other people can try to impose that on us, and that's not very effective. So, like,
right,
you know, when someone says, oh, it's a blessing because blah, 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 I always,
yep,
say the person themselves has to come to just understand what,
yes,
the gift was in it for them. You can't tell them because,
mm-hmm,
that almost always backfires. Right?
Yeah. And it's always be able to keep your opinions to yourself and just listen. I think, you know, open ears is a whole lot better than open mouth. Right? It does make a big difference. And also, too, you have in your book, on the back, you have a lot of information. You say that there's 22 instant happiness boosters. So, you know, if you're having one of those days or one of those moments, read in the back of the book, don't you think?
Yes, I try to make things go, as simple as for people as possible because I know how busy we are. So my books are always really small. And
mm-hmm,
they have these little 2 and 3 page chapters. And then I've got a bunch of real specific things always that I put in the back that you can just go to and try out. Because life is very challenging and complicated, and we don't need 700 really hard things to do on top of whatever else we're doing. So I'd really try to come up with thoughts, suggestions that are really simple. And one example, of course, we've already talked about, which is just that when something is difficult, it's happening, it's like you can say to yourself, yes, this is true, and right now, what you talked about, what can I notice and appreciate in addition to this thing? What else is there? That the sun is shining, or that I still have a roof over my head, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is instantaneously boosts your mood, even if it's only a tiny bit. I'm not saying you're going to go from 0 to 10, but maybe you'll go
right,
from 0 to 2 or 3. And even that's an improvement.
And, you know, absolutely. And also in your book you say about, you talk about flowers in the back. I know a dentist that I used to work with, you know, all the time you go to the dentist and you always had the toy box for the kids or a toothbrush or this, that, or the other. And instead what he always had was fresh flowers every single day. And you would be able to take one and they were always carnations. And everybody would get one flower on their way out. And it was so much more welcomed than a toothbrush or a toy box. You know, people just enjoy that. And ever since that day, my goodness, that was in the 80s. And ever since that day, every time I go to the grocery store, The florist is usually always right in the beginning of the store, if you ever notice when you're going to a grocery store. And what I would always do is I would pick my favorite flower. It'd either be roses or carnations, and I'd go smell them. And I'd smell every single one that was there. And I'd say, oh, now I feel better, and then I'd leave. I didn't need to always buy them, but, boy, I needed to smell them, you know? And it just triggers in your mind, you know, it's good. It's all is good, you know?
I love
you know,
that idea.
It was just great. Yeah, and like yesterday I was at the grocery store, and they had purple carnations, and I was like, oh, those are so beautiful, you know? And I just stood there, and I just kept smelling them and smelling them, and I'm like, okay, good, I got my fix. I'm out of here, you know? So, and it just really helps, you know, to be able, people buy flowers, they put them on their table, they don't even go near them again. You know, what's the purpose? You've got to smell them, you've got to touch them, you've got to feel that energy that's in them. You have to pay attention to that. That's another example of, you know, opening your eyes and your ears, and for this matter, opening your nose, and pay attention, you know.
Well,
just they're there to be enjoyed. They're not just to just sit there and, you know, put them on the table, oh, well.
Well, what you're pointing out is something that took me a long time after I was really talking and writing about gratitude to really get, which is that it's you got to actually experience these things that we're talking
mm-hmm.
about in terms of the pleasures around us, whether it's the smell of the flowers or the sun on your cheek or,
mm-hmm.
you know, your daughter's cute dimples, whatever it is. If you don't actually receive it, I remember I was in a huge auditorium, I was doing a talk on gratitude. There was probably 250 people in the room, really, really crowded. And I was having people do this experiment of, like, notice what's your number on a scale of happiness of 1 to 10 right now, and then think of something that you're really grateful for, and then what's your number. Typically, almost everybody's number goes up, right? And so I wanted to understand why it doesn't always go up. And so this woman said she would volunteer. So I said, okay, so tell me what you're grateful for. And she goes, well, I'm grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for my health.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I said,
yes.
No. That's just reciting a list.
Mm-hmm.
You have to experience the feeling of how good it feels to not be sick. Or you have to think about what is it specifically that you love and appreciate about your child or about your spouse.
Right.
It's the take it in, be specific. It's not just a rote recitation of the things you should be grateful for. And
absolutely.
When we do take it in, when we do smell those carnations or really notice the color purple, right? It's an
mm-hmm.
amazing color, isn't it? When you really take that in, then you can't help but have a tiny bit of a feel-good feeling.
Right, and I'm not saying, you know, like I love baking in the fall. I just think it is the greatest thing. However, I'm just not interested in eating it anymore. But I'll go to the grocery store and they'll have those smells. You know, like when
mm-hmm.
you go to a farm store or something, you'll
mm-hmm.
smell something. I do not buy any produce whatsoever without smelling it. Because if you pick up a cantaloupe and it does not have a cantaloupe smell, you'd best put that thing back because you're wasting your money and you're wasting your time. So I tell everybody, you got to smell it before you buy it. Have that sense that it is what you want. Have that experience that all together. And, you know, and then you can purchase it. It's sort of like I saw a picture the other day of this pumpkin spice coffee, and I said, oh, that picture looks good. I got the pumpkin coffee. The store did not smell like it. I got the pumpkin coffee. I smelled it as soon as I got it from the guy. I tasted a drop. I said, ooh, this is not what I wanted. I don't like it, and had him take it back. It's because I hadn't experienced it beforehand to know that if it was going to be a positive or not positive experience for me. So it's a perfect example of you looked at the picture, and it was a concept of something that it wasn't pleasing to you.
Right, exactly.
You know, and he took it back. He gave me something else I wanted. No, it's quite fine with it. But, you know, it's so easy to pick up a cantaloupe and smell it and say, oh, this is what I want. You know, when you pick up a cantaloupe and you just throw it in your basket, you take it home, you cut it open, oh, this is gross, you know, this doesn't smell, this doesn't taste, whatever. How can you be so mindless to be able to not even recognize what you're putting into your body? So it's really about, you know, being present in that. And I think that's the same thing with happiness, you know. You turn around and you say, I'd love to have a cantaloupe today, a really rich one. And if you cut up all that and did all that and didn't even notice the taste of it, if it was ripe, if it was soft, if it was bright orange, you didn't even notice.
Yep. So a lot, as you said, is about awareness. And widening, what's interesting is that widening our view, because one of the things that scientists have found out is that when we're in the state of fear, our vision actually narrows and all we see is the bad thing. All we see is the threat. And this is a good thing if a tiger is actually about to pounce on you and eat you. Paying attention to the tiger is a really important thing. But the problem is that that mechanism works in our daily lives when there are no tigers.
Right,
and
right.
When we're going through something hard, it narrows down to just us paying attention to that bad thing. And so we lose all perspective of the other things that there are around us. And so we only see that challenge, that difficulty, that hardship. So that's why it's really important that we go, yes, that's true, and make ourselves widen our view and say, what else is here besides that thing? Because we have a biological tendency to only notice that negative.
And also you say in the book about find your tribe, I think that that's important. It's time to shift and not, and just don't be around miserable people anymore. You know, it's... You know, it can get really draining, you know, if you turn around and you say, oh my gosh, I had a fabulous day, and then the other person walks in the house and say, and you go, oh, sorry, you know. Why do you have to say sorry? You know, you had a great day. That's up to them what their choice was. You don't have to say you're sorry for that, you know.
Yes, and I think also that just, I guess what I mean by tribe is really about, you know, how wonderful it feels to have best friends, have people who you feel like that you deeply understand one another and appreciate one another and support one another. And you know, I think that we can get really isolated and alone in this world that we're living in now. And so the more that we get outside of ourselves and connect to other people, that also is a way to get happy, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we look at social media, you know, you say, is your tribe those ones that like you and friend you or those ones that don't, you know? and eventually, those that don't want to hear it anymore, well, then that's their choice, too. But eventually, it does wear off, and I think that's the great thing about social media is that, you know, you hear things and you go, oh, that lifted my day. That sounds good, or oh, that sounds cool. Or you just laugh and you think how silly somebody said something, or you think, oh, no way, but boy, is that funny, you know? And that's a great thing to have.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and how easy that is. And, you know, we talk, and you say, you know, the book is called The Happiness Makeover. I think once you get on the other side of this, you may never wish to go back, because you'll notice, you'll say, oh, you know, I just couldn't possibly go back to that. And you'll start noticing that when other people might be in the place that you were in, you'll say, my goodness, I did not realize that that was the color of my wings, so to say, you know. What was I carrying around on it all the time? And now I can see it in others that might not be where, you know, a little more being able to be light with themselves.
Yep.
How hard that is, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, MJ, it was a pleasure to have you with us. Can you share with the listeners some information about you, your website, some of your other works and your events? That would be great.
Yes, thank you. So my website is mj-ryan.com, and you can find all of my books there. Besides The Happiness Makeover, I've written Attitudes of Gratitude and How to Survive Change You Didn't Ask For. This Year I Will, which is about New Year's resolutions, so we're coming up to that time of the year in which you want to decide how you want to change something. That book helps you figure out what you want to work on and how to actually make it a success, because only fewer than 10% of us actually can successfully change something in the new year, so I want to increase the odds. So all of that stuff is there, and as well as other books. So I encourage people to take a look.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. If you'd like more information about MJ Ryan, her book is The Happiness Makeover, Teach Yourself to Enjoy Every Day. It is her website. The link will be on the bottom of today's show page, and you can click right on there, go direct to her website, find out more information about the other books she has authored and her events and her webinars, and it would be great if you'd just go on there, check things out, and, you know, you could always share a comment on today's show. So thank you so much for joining us today for Sedona Talk Radio. And this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. And please join us again tomorrow and really be a little bit lighter, a little bit nicer to yourself, and just be a little bit happier. All happiness means is all you have to smile or go smell the flowers like I do at the grocery store. So thank you and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.